Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Hello, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And today we're going to start talking, we're going to do, I think, an episode or two on the concept of other conditions that you might see that are often show up with addiction. So we call that comorbid conditions.
Or together.
Yes.
Conditions.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. They show up together. So these are comorbid conditions that are often related to or connected to sex addiction. So it's something that you might see. Now, obviously, you can have any condition, right? It's not like, oh, if you have sex addiction, you're only going to show up with certain comorbidities. But we want to talk about some ones that are kind of common and why it's important. Like, why is that even important? Why is that important to know? Why is that important to be aware of?
Yep.
And so this is obviously sex addiction is a big concern. And if you're coming in for that, that's going to be a top plate kind of concept, right?
That's one that has to have some things happen before you can do a lot of other stuff.
Right. Right. But again, if you've listened to us talk on this podcast, really probably ever, we talk a lot about how addiction is kind of a band-aid coping situation, right? For things that are going on underneath. And so while, yes, we do, this is a very distressful thing. We do want to deal with it. There are definitely things that have to be taken care of pretty immediately.
Yeah. And an easy way to think about it.
We do have underneath stuff too. We need to make sure we're addressing. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking. Kind of a medical model where you come in and you can tell the doctor about symptoms,
yes,
but you need the doctor to figure out what's the actual disease causing the symptoms. So if my stomach really, really hurts, that's just a symptom. Mm-hmm. It may be an ulcer or appendicitis. It may be indigestion. It may be a lot of things.
Yes.
We just know about the symptom. And so the sexual addiction is a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know about other symptoms. We want to know about causes and diseases. And that's what this comorbid idea is.
Yes. Yeah. And if we are ignoring those other things, right, we're going to ignore some big pieces that are important in recovery.
Right.
Right. Just like if, you know, you said, oh, well, that's just an upset. Some, you just ate something that didn't agree with you and we didn't address, actually, that is stomach cancer, or actually,
I've been feeling this pain for about a week now.
Yes.
Okay. So yes. Now it's a little different.
So it's different. Right. And if we're just not addressing that, we're not going to get to the root of what's actually going on. And so again, with a lot of these things, it's either going to exacerbate the sexual addiction, or it's going to completely keep it around, right? There are different things that you can be experiencing that are really driving the addiction. So you can work on recovery and sobriety. You can just work your tail off trying to do that.
Right.
But if you haven't addressed some of the underlying issues, especially when those issues are comorbid mental health conditions, it's really going to cause problems and you're really not going to get very far.
Which may help explain sometimes why clients may really struggle with getting sober,
mm-hmm,
and we're focusing, you could say over-focusing on just, you know, the addiction,
yes,
and steps and things like this. And it kind of can feel like we're missing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you're just pushing really hard and you just keep, you can't,
it's seem not working
to get, yeah, you can't seem to gain traction.
Yep.
There may be some other things going on that need to be addressed. So let's talk about some of the more common comorbid conditions related to sexual addiction. I think depression is a really common one. Yeah, that we see,
for sure.
Right? Tons of people will have that. Anxiety as well. That's a really big one. ADHD is actually a big one and has a lot of, that brings up a lot of things. We'll definitely talk about that. Also, high-functioning autism is something that we can see. It's a little bit of an unusual piece, but it's important, I think, to address as well. And then, of course, personality disorders. I think with depression, we could probably also throw bipolar in there. That could be something that's, I think, probably more related to that depression part of it. But yes, again, personality disorders, narcissistic personality disorder, borderline, antisocial personality disorder. Yep. Those are kind of the ones. But also even OCPD, I think, where you get into some of that scrupulosity types of things. Mm-hmm. And then I think sometimes you can also have obsessive compulsive disorder issues as well. So we've got several that we are going to talk about and try to touch on how they can be affecting or exacerbating addiction. So now that we've listed off some of those, you may be feeling a little bit like, oh, wow, there's a lot here, right? And hopefully what that will do, obviously not everyone with sex addiction is going to have a comorbid condition.
Right.
And there are actually people who are going to have more than one.
Yeah.
But it is definitely something you want to make sure that you're being aware of and that you are potentially considering. And hopefully as we kind of go through that, it then makes more sense why we talk about when you're recovering from sex addiction, that you are not just going to a group and, you know, talking to people and just trying to do it on your own, that therapy is going to be a critical component of this.
Right. And you have probably seen this a lot where you may not feel like it's enough, but you don't know why. So for example, what I find to be comorbid with addiction a lot of times is depression.
Yeah, most of the time, I would say.
Yeah, probably most of the time. And what happens is a lot of people have started a process like group work, sponsor, but the depression is not being addressed at all. And that's not the role of 12-step.
Right.
That's not the role of a sponsor. But they struggle to have hope. They struggle not to be in despair. And
shame.
Shame, for sure. And mm-hmm. one of the key giveaways is... they just won't do a lot of the things that would help them that aren't very, you know, challenging or complex or hard things to do. They just, there's no motivation. There's very low drive. They feel like it kind of doesn't matter. What's the point? And it's okay, by the way, I'm just throwing this out there, to shift gears away from something like a 12-step focus and to focus more on depression. Right. It's okay to say, look, this isn't, go ahead and act out because we're not going to pay as much attention right now to addiction as depression. We're not saying that at all. However, if a lot of the people struggling with depression don't start to feel better, don't start to have hope, don't find some rhythm, they're not going to do the stuff anyway.
Right.
And so even if they're acting out, now let me be careful and kind of define this in the way that I think is helpful. Mm-hmm. If acting out is porn or masturbation, it's okay that that happens while we're working through these other comorbid conditions. If the acting out is hooking up or putting your partner at risk because you're actually physically contacting, connecting with others, that's not okay.
Right.
And so there are times in this process where you have to have really firm boundaries, but there are also times in this process where we're just not going to over-focus on how long has it been, what about sobriety, what about slips and relapses, when it's on a lust or a pornography or a masturbation level. Now, I'll say that, and some may not agree, and that's okay. That's just what I've seen from experience. Right. It's still important that we try not to do those things.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. I think, you know, some people might get a little, you know, especially some of these betrayed partners, like, are you saying, I don't want there to be a justification like, oh, well, I have depression, so it's fine for me to act out. And that is not at all what we're saying. Obviously, we want that behavior to slow, to stop.
Right. We do.
That's the goal. And if it is still happening while we're working on getting depression stabilized or some of these comorbid, you know, things, that may be a place where addiction, where relapse can be part of recovery.
Right.
As we're kind of hitting two birds with one stone. Like, maybe you are still going, and I don't think this is a bad idea at all to continue going and doing the step work stuff.
Right.
And then work in therapy on the depression or the comorbid issue.
Right. Because what I'll find, if this makes sense, what I'll find is things aren't being done. Relapses are still happening,
mm-hmm.
and they're sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into hopelessness, despair, sometimes even suicidal.
Right.
And it becomes very clear that you have to shift away from, well, let's get you to not look at porn and masturbate.
Right, right.
It and becomes like, very clear we've got to get into self-care.
You did it again. You did it again. Yeah.
It's got to be, we need you feeling better.
Space. Yes. Yeah. So I think that's going to definitely probably be where we're looking at more of a major depressive episode or major depressive disorder, right? Where it's really strong and really consistent.
Right.
Now, like, again, we can feel depressed. We can feel like we're really struggling. This is really hard. And you may be having some mild depressive symptoms or even some moderate depressive symptoms.
Yeah.
But people can maybe still work through some of this other stuff simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
But again, when we're getting to that severe level, and we're getting to those strong episodes, where they just can't come out of that again, right. And hopefully that'll make sense. It really is a severity level thing, I think, here. I think there are a lot of times you can feel, then you can be depressed at a certain level and still like start working through some of those stuff and it doesn't totally take you out. But there's absolutely going to be some of those spaces where someone is so depressed and they're really getting suicidal and they are just struggling to even function. We've got to focus on that.
Right. And you see the complexity when it's, you know, we have a boundary around if you look at porn and masturbate. And since you've done it twice this week or whatever, you're now out of the house. And so now they're not with family. Now they're not with really the source of this. The whole reason I'm doing all of this is for connection and family. And now I am far away from them. And the light at the end of the tunnel is getting further and further away. And it can be very hard. So sometimes we have to shift gears and say, you know what? Let's focus on you feeling better. You know, this paradox of until we really love ourselves, we don't change. And if we're changing, but we don't really love ourselves, it's white knuckling and it'll come back. And so how can we, you know, address these things that are really getting in the way of making any progress at all?
And the really tricky thing I think with that is with depression specifically is that we're dealing with a couple of things. When you are, when you're acting out, right? I think everybody's pretty familiar with the fact that you're producing dopamine, right? Like this is what that drug is, right?
That's the draw
for the brain, right? And so as you are continually acting out over time, right? You're getting that dopamine as you get into it more and more. And when we talk about it, you need more to get the same hit, like all of those different kinds of things. What you're doing is in your brain, as your brain starts to create additional dopamine receptors, because when it gets flooded with that dopamine from acting out, your body goes, oh, like we're getting these extra flood and we don't have anywhere to put these. Clearly we need more of these receptors to be able to bring that dopamine into the system. So when you're coming out of that space, when you're doing that in return, in opposite, right? And we want to get your brain so it's not as addicted. You do that by not having the stimulus and having that little bit of withdrawal space, right? So that your brain starts to prune those dopamine receptors, right?
Right.
And saying, okay, we don't need as many of these. We're good. You know, we're not getting as much. We will prune those dopamine receptors. Well, in the meantime, that withdrawal space, that struggle space is a lack of dopamine. And that's particularly important for sex addiction, because for other addictions, there's other drugs and things involved, right? There's other receptors that you're pruning. With dopamine, this is part of depression, is part of, there's serotonin, right? That we all associate with depression. There is also dopamine that is related right. to depression. It's the part of depression that is not motivating, that where you just feel blah, where you don't, like, you have a hard time getting yourself up to do the things that you need to do, right? Serotonin's going to be the, I'm sad, I'm hopeless, you know, those kinds of things. And they obviously work together. Well, one of the things, if you have major depressive disorder, if you have depression already, right, as a comorbid or pre-existing condition, the addictive thing you're doing also starts filling those receptors a little bit. So as you're pruning that, you're saying, okay, we need to stop doing that. There's going to be a space where you don't have as much dopamine in your brain. And that's going to be a little bit challenging and tricky. So again, this is why these things are so complicated. It's mm-hmm. not just a quick, like, throw it out there. Like, we
just stop this, it.
Yes. 3-step process and we're going to be good tomorrow and there's going to be no more addiction. Right? We talk about these comorbid conditions. It can be tricky. So again, there may need to be a point where it's severe enough and the person is already feeling hopeless and devastated and depressed and things, where we need to switch gears, really start focusing on the depression,
yeah.
maybe getting them stable on medication, yep. So that they can then actually show up and do the things to get better in their addiction.
Right.
And recovery and all of those pieces of it in relationship. So I think this depression's a great one to start with.
It's a good example probably for yes. you to see of how other comorbid or together conditions impact addiction recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, we want to make sure that we're getting into and connecting dots with those. So again, complicated. There's a lot of different pieces to these things. There's a lot of different pieces to individual people's reasons for then choosing to act out, right? To get involved in addiction or whatever, something that is outside their value system.
Right.
It's complicated. There's a lot of pieces involved. So when those things involve comorbid conditions, pre-existing conditions, things like that, we really want to make sure we're addressing those. And that's, again, why it's so critical to be in therapy in this process.
Yep.
Your 12-step is going to be fantastic. There's so many great things about that 12-step. And really, there's so many great things about the 12-step in helping you to discover what is going on under the surface, right? From a behavioral standpoint, from maybe some beliefs that you've had, negative core beliefs, other issues that you can work on individually. But again, the therapy is going to be crucial to be able to address, pull apart, and work on specific mental health disorders that are causing issues with your ability to fully move through the recovery process. So we want to heal those. We want to get those worked on and get a good solid foundation. And then you'll move forward in recovery a lot more effectively.
Yeah, you'll see a difference.
Yeah.
Or you should.
Really huge.
And if you're not, there may be more.
There may be we've got yeah, more things to
discover.
Other things.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's very common, I think, probably for both of us, that when we find something that really needs to be addressed with our clients and they really get solid in that space, it can change the entire course.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that, you know, even more details with some of the other conditions that we're going to talk about in the next episode. So we want to give you a little overview of why this is important, why you should consider it, and then talked about depression in that space. And in the next episode, we'll talk about some of these other conditions that we mentioned that are important to be aware of or to address that can be common with sexual addiction. So we'll see you next time.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.